Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers lose the series, but Ryan Pepiot makes his debut. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Edwin Rios, and we'll talk about Dontrell Willis on the Sportsnet LA broadcast. That's what's coming up, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. And remember, we are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Make it easy on yourself and subscribe in all those places, and you won't miss a day because you know we're not going to. This is your first time listening or watching. I'm Vince Samperio, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Snyder. And we are both lifelong Dodger fans that have been fans since the beginning, but we've also spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and locker room. We're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every single weekday morning. Subscribe, and you can hear us every single weekday morning being those smart fans talking about the Dodgers. Jeff, no matter how smart we are as fans, it doesn't make the way the series ended against the Pirates any better. And the game was ugly. The Dodgers didn't score much, and the Pirates did score a lot more. And there's not too much to get into. You know, the offense has about off days. I don't think there's anything deeper that we haven't already talked about. But the main story was Ryan Pepiot making his MLB debut. He did not allow a run. He did struggle with command. The changeup looked really great at times. The fastball looked really great at times. He can just put that together in the strike zone a little bit more often. I think we got something here.
Yeah, and I wonder if we need a new word. Like, you know, there's control and then there's command. And we're smart enough to know those are two different things, you know. But there might be a third thing we need, because I don't even know that this is command so much as Pepiot taking a step up and basically facing better hitters than he has in the minors. And every level you go up, you face better hitters. And that means hitters who are less likely to chase. And with Pepiot being so reliant on his changeup, changeup for most pitchers is a chase pitch. And so it's more a matter of figuring out, like, I don't think he threw that many pitches that weren't where he meant to throw them. It's just that the guys didn't chase him like they do in the minor leagues. And, you know, we saw last year when he first went up to AAA, he struggled. And, you know, and I think that was kind of the same thing, figuring out, oh, these more advanced hitters in AAA, most of the guys have been in the big leagues. And so it's more advanced in AA. And so figuring, okay, I can't get him to chase a pitch that's 6 inches off the plate. I got to pull it within 3 inches, you know. And here in the big leagues, you know, some of these guys aren't even going to chase that. And so I think that's going to be the next step of Pepiot's development, is figuring out more where he needs to throw it. And there may be an element of figuring out how to be successful throwing that changeup in the strike zone, at least sometimes. You know, I the example I always go back to is Kirby Yates when he was with the Padres and was really, really good. And the Dodgers were the only team that didn't struggle against him. And that was because Yates is a changeup guy, and the Dodgers figured out he never throws a changeup in the strike zone. So if you can identify that's a changeup, just don't swing. And then that way he has to either throw the changeup in the strike zone or throw a different pitch. And, you know, that's why the Dodgers were able to get to him. And I think, you know, the Dodgers pitching coaches and their development staff and everything, they're smart people. I think they're going to help Pepiot figure this out. But I think that's more what it was, where he was throwing really good pitches that probably got chases in the minor leagues that just didn't in the big leagues today.
Yeah, it's not like he was all over the place. You know, you think of a guy like Tony Gonsolin, and sometimes he is kind of all over the place, not necessarily getting guys aren't chasing. He's just, you know, can't figure it out sometimes. Whereas Pepiot was getting strikes early in the count for the most part. He got to two strikes a lot of the times, and then did have some issues putting guys away because of, like what you said, guys not chasing him, having to come back into the zone. You know, he ended up not allowing any runs, got into a couple jams there, but from the hard, like pure stuff wise, he looked pretty good. The fastball looked good. He blew it by a couple guys. He got last year's All-Star Brian Reynolds on one in a key spot. So the stuff looked good. The fastball looked good. You know, the changeup, the first changeup for the first strikeout of his career was pretty filthy. I think it was on Pitching Ninja. If it wasn't, it was all over the internet anyways. So that stuff was good. And like you said, yeah, I think it's just a matter of figuring out where he wants to throw stuff, you know, making the slight adjustment, you know, it's inch adjustment. You know, if you run it 1 inch more, maybe the guy chases it instead of not chasing it. I haven't seen him pitch too often, but just in terms of his mechanics, I don't know if that's how it always looks, but it did look to me like the changeup was being telegraphed a little bit, just the way he was throwing it. I don't know if you could tell that from the batter standpoint, but at least from the standpoint of behind the mound and slow, and even when they slowed it up, it looked like he was trying to place it a little bit rather than throwing it. But that might be how it looks normally. I'm not entirely sure. But if that was the case, you could tell why, because like you said, if he's trying to make those adjustments in game, that might be how he does it.
Yeah, I also thought it was interesting that he hardly threw the slider at all. You know, the slider is a pitch that he's mostly added this year that he's had some success with. And I guess he just never got to a point where he was comfortable with that. I don't know if it was a, you know, pregame in the bullpen. He could tell he just didn't have feel for it, or if it just the situation didn't come up and he wanted to rely on the pitches he was more comfortable with. But, you know, hopefully we'll see that slider more often. It'll be interesting to see next week, because the Dodgers, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. He's going to be I haven't seen anything yet, but I assume he'll be sent back to the minors immediately before today's game against the Phillies. And but then he would be eligible to come back up for that doubleheader against the Diamondbacks, because I think I mentioned this on yesterday's show that when you are the extra guy on the roster, the 27th man for a doubleheader, you are exempt from the you have to be in the minors for 15 days after you've been optioned rule. And so they could send him down and then call him back to start one of those games of the doubleheader next week. I'm hoping they do that. I'd like to see him get another chance. And, you know, a guy's debut, you never know what to expect. Some guys come in and they're awesome, and then they end up not actually being that good. And some guys come in and are a little bit underwhelming and turn out to be good. And obviously there's some in the middle, but this was kind of what I don't know if it's what I expected, but you know, we've always known Pepiot's good stuff and walks a lot of guys. And it makes sense that those walks were going to go up a little bit in his first start against major league hitters.
Yeah, especially early on, like you said, you don't know what you're going to get. Reed Detmers, I think, went into the game before the other night with like a 6 ERA, above a 6 ERA, and then threw a no-hitter. So,
yeah,
you never know. But after that, after Pepiot came in and went, basically became a bullpen game of sorts, and the Dodgers held it down for the most part, up until later in the game, Tommy Canley came in and got ambushed. 5 pitches, 2 home runs, and a hit-by-pitch. Wasn't his best outing, but maybe one of those things. It seemed like the Pirates maybe had some strong scouting reports, because they weren't swinging. You know, they're being patient against Pepiot and had done different things in the last 3 games, and then completely came out on Keenly and swung it right away. So I don't know if that was in their scouting report or if they just saw something they liked. But other than that, I don't think there's too much cause for concern there.
Yeah, I think both home runs against Canley came on first pitch fastballs, and you know, Canley, his changeup is his pitch, and so I noticed after the second home run, he started starting hitters with a changeup, you know, and that's probably a good learning experience for Canley. Not like he's a rookie or anything, but you know, getting back into the swing of things and realizing, you know, go with your best pitch, start with a changeup, and or start with a better located fastball, because both of them were pretty poorly located too. And so maybe the lesson is just locate better, but the lesson also might be the book is out. And if you throw too many first pitch fastballs, you're going to give up some home runs.
Yep, exactly. We are going to talk about one of the other bright spots of not only the game, or I guess not so much the game, but of the series, Edwin Rios, and if he deserves more playing time, which is probably going to be a talking point for a lot of the Dodgers related content over here the next few days, but we're going to talk about it. But first let's talk about Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens is it's a product that I've been using every day for a while now. Start my morning with it. I had to learn to not take it just with water, but mix it in with something else, and you know, make it something that you want to enjoy in the morning before you even have your breakfast. Maybe, you know, after a workout, before a workout, whatever it is. But Athletic Greens, what is it? Well, it's a scoop that you add to a drink or water that has 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens that helps your day start right, helps your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, and also helps with energy, recovery, focus, and aging. Why wouldn't you want to try it? I'm not really sure, but it's not just me that tried it and liked it. They have over 7,000 five-star reviews online. It's been recommended by professional athletes and trusted by leading health experts such as Tim Ferriss and Michael Gervais. I'm not sure who they are, but I'm sure they are very much well-respected in their proper fields. But to make it easy for you and try it yourself, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/MLB network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast with recaps of MLB games, with analysis from all our local experts, all our Locked On hosts. The Locked On Network can take fans through the season like no other network, so check it out. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts.
You don't know who Tim Ferriss is, Vince?
No, I'm
first podcast I ever listened to regularly was Tim Ferriss's podcast. He's awesome.
Oh, there you go. Well, there you go. That's all you need. Jeff knows him, and he's well-respected, like I said. But let's talk about Edwin Rios. Edwin Rios had a big series, had a home run in the first two games, had a big bases-clearing double, which might have been a home run without the dead ball and would have put the Dodgers ahead there late in the game. And, you know, now has an OPS over 900 on the season, has the home runs, you know, I think he has 3 total, 2 from this series. But with Turner struggling, you know, his 3-double, 4-hit game notwithstanding, with Max Muncy struggling still, is it time to see a little bit more Eddie Rios in the lineup?
Well, my first caveat would be, I hope we're only talking about against right-handed starters. Edwin Rios, his overall OPS in his career against lefties is about 100 points worse than his OPS against righties. And even that's a little bit inflated because he has hit a few home runs against lefties, but overall in his career, he has a 189 batting average and a 244 on base percentage against lefties. Edwin Rios is a platoon player. But with that said, yeah, he hits righties really well. And we haven't seen him at third base this year, I don't think. We saw last year that he had put in a lot of work before he got hurt or before we knew that he was hurt. He had played some third base, and I think he can be a passable third baseman. And as Justin Turner gets older and his defense is less and less to write home about, maybe the gap closes even more. I would, especially since using Justin Turner at DH so often. Max Muncy is struggling too, and Muncy often hits lefties better than he hits righties anyway, and so I would like to see them get Rios in maybe a little bit more often against right-handed pitchers. I also like, though, having him available in a late-inning pinch-hitting opportunity. And that's where we saw his first home run of the series was in that situation in game one of the series. And so I think Edwin Rios is a very good hitter against right-handed pitching. And there's a balance between get him as many at-bats as you can and being able to pick and choose and laser target. Here is where we want him getting this at bat, because the fact is on Wednesday, the Dodgers got a little bit lucky that his spot happened to come up with bases loaded against a right-handed pitcher. And when he's on the bench, you can actually do that on purpose and you don't have to depend on luck to put him up in the right spot. You can deploy him whenever. Although, you know, there is a limited number of Dodgers players who you want to hit for, I guess. And so I guess if Hanser Alberto was in the lineup, that's a no brainer, but you're not going to pinch hit for Mookie or Trey or even Justin Turner, you know, like pinch hitting opportunities aren't going to come very often for him. So maybe the only way to get him at bats is to start him more often.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about when Rios as a guy who might need more at bats, could have potentially seen some time in the minors, you know, call some of these guys up that wouldn't have a little bit older, would know what a role, and he knows what his role is, but would know what the role entails and, you know, want to actually fulfill that role. Obviously, he's a guy that has major league talent that would be, you know, maybe even starting for some of these other teams that aren't as good as the Dodgers or don't have a lineup as deep as the Dodgers. But it's a matter of, you know, before this series, he had only had two at-bats since April 28th, which not that long, but, you know, had been a week and a half or so of him only getting a couple of at-bats. And like you said, there's not a lot of spots for him to even pinch hit for because, you know, if he's good against righties, well, the guys that the Dodgers have that are struggling are usually left-handed or Justin Turner, who has hit against righties better. You know, you're not going to hit him for Gavin Lux. You're not going to hit him for Cody Bellinger realistically. So there's really not too many spots for him. I do think it's a matter of Justin Turner, Max Muncy, for the most part, are going to be in the lineup every day, maybe one day off a week or one day at DH every week. So I don't see there being, you know, that pathway for playing time. But I do think that Dave Roberts could maybe start strategically giving guys a days off a little bit more often, especially in this 31 games and 30 day stretch, to where we could see Edwin Rios in the starting lineup a little bit more. I would like to, you know, it sucks because you want to see him at third base to see if he's gotten better, to see if he can handle third base. But it's also a matter of, you know, if he hasn't, you don't necessarily want to see him at third base. So, you know, it's hard. There's a lot of stuff to do. And you know, maybe, you know, we've talked about Kevin Pillar and Jake Lamb as guys before. They both homered last night. That's why they're top of mind. But those guys would come up and, you know, fill a role where they're not playing every day, would have one or two at-bats every couple weeks and kind of, you know, be a little bit more happy with that rather than, you know, I don't think Edwin Rios is too happy about not playing, but it's just, it's tough in this lineup. And I don't want, you know, I don't want an injury to happen for him to get into the lineup, but that seems like the only way at this point.
Yeah. Although one name that neither of us said that it should maybe be slapping us in the face right now is Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor looks absolutely lost at the plate right now, and he's always been streaky. Chris Taylor right now looks at least as bad as Cody Bellinger did in spring training. And we saw Cody Bellinger snap out of it at least to some extent. And, you know, as maybe even right now where Cody's struggling, he's not like he was in spring training. But Chris Taylor, we've seen Gavin Lux has played left field the last 2 days, and overall he's done pretty well. He did take one bad route that turned a single into a triple, and it ultimately cost the Dodgers a run, unfortunately. But you know, that's to be expected a little bit. I think Lux has the athleticism to be a solid left fielder. And, you know, the way the Dodgers roster and lineup is set up, a day off for anyone can turn into a start for Edwin Rios. You know, you just move guys around. And I don't know if it was with that in mind or just coincidence that Gavin Lux has played left field the last 2 days. But, you know, basically it seems like with Chris Taylor and Justin Turner and Max Muncy all struggling the way they are right now, and even Bellinger for that matter, it probably shouldn't be too hard to get Edwin Rios half the starts against right-handed pitchers, you know, get him in there a couple times a week at least.
Yeah, and that's something that we may see now. And kind of something I alluded to the other day is the Dodgers have always been able to give these leashes, not always, but for the most part, been able to give these leashes to guys. We've seen it, you know, we've seen it with Chris Taylor before, and we've seen it with Cody Bellinger before, and we've seen it with other guys before. They usually either get right or, like in 2018, they don't get right and they start to have line shifts of platoons. And I don't see it going to that extreme. But with the NOS still so good so far, you know, the Dodgers' margin for error isn't as strong or isn't there as much as it was before. So maybe a guy like riding the hot hand, you know, what if they give Edwin Rios a few more starts and then he kind of cools off and it was maybe just this series thing, or maybe it's just a weekly thing. And then they can kind of go back to where they were. I think it's one of those where you might want to ride the hot hand and try to get him a couple more ABs this week and see if it's something where, cause I mean, he looked good in spring. He looks good so far this season, but it's always been in limited capacity. You don't know if you start hitting him more often, if that's still going to be the case.
Yeah. And the key, like I started the segment with, is putting him in positions to succeed. And that means the vast majority of at-bats coming against right-handed pitching. You know, that it's always been a thing where Dodger fans, you know, even today, people were celebrating that Rios didn't get El Bencho after his big game yesterday. It was a left-handed starter. He probably should have got El Bencho, but Mookie needed the day off, you know. And so it is what it is. But overall, Dave Roberts is pretty good at putting guys in position to succeed. And maybe not always with his relief pitching choices, but offensively. So hopefully they will continue to do that. And most of his at-bats will come against righties.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes here the next couple weeks or so. Next, we're going to talk about Dontrell Willis. He made his debut on the broadcast on this road trip, and now we got a few six games of him to talk about. So we'll talk about him. But first, let's talk about Bet Online, because our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. They got all the latest odds, they got all the latest news, and all the latest sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, MLB scores, UFC and boxing fights, and even next season's NFL futures. The NFL schedule release is today on Thursday. I'm sure you'll be able to start putting some stuff there as you see how the schedules play out. So make sure to head over to BetOnline. They'll have you all covered for all that. They're your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Check it out. Probably whatever you're looking for, BetOnline.net has it. Head to the website today on your laptop or mobile device and learn about all the trends, learn about all the action, and see where you can get in on it. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, finishing up with Dontrell Willis, made his Sportsnet LA broadcast debut. He's been in the studio this season so far, but was in the booth with Joe Davis on this road trip. And I tweeted one of the first games that I really liked him so far. There was some mixed responses, a lot of positive responses. Some maybe, you know, not as his biggest fan. I know one of my uncles wasn't his biggest fan, but felt like he got better as the road trip went on. I don't know if you tweeted anything about it, but we haven't talked about it, me and you. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I did tweet about it a little bit during Wednesday's game, but kind of in general, I think what we see, the response every time there's a new announcer, we saw it with Karros, we saw it with Jessica Mendoza, and now we saw it with Dontrell, is some people just don't like change. And I think that was maybe a little bit stronger with Jessica Mendoza, because she's not just a change in Joe Davis's partner, but she's also a kind of voice that you don't hear as often on a baseball broadcast. And so people jump immediately to sexism, and I don't think the people who don't like Jessica Mendoza are sexist. I think people are used to hearing a man's voice, and so it's something innate in their brain that, oh, this is different, I don't like it. And all of us, our goal should be to, when we encounter something different, to actually judge it on its merits and not on this is different, so I don't like it. And that's a challenge that I think it's human nature to struggle with that. And so with that said, Dontrell Willis, yeah. I mean, he's different. He's different than Oral Hershiser for sure. He's different than Eric Karros. He's different from Jessica Mendoza. And in almost every way that he's different, I found myself really enjoying him. And I did have to give myself, because I'm a human being too. And so at the beginning I thought, well, this is different. I wonder if I like this or not, but I always try to focus and say, okay, but is it good? And for me, what I loved about Dontrell Willis is, it's kind of what we talked about. I don't know if it was you and me together or me alone, but talking about my issues with some of the, let's say the Dodgers radio color commentator. I'm not going to say his name. I'm sure he's a very nice guy, and he's named after a day of the week, and that's cool. I love everything about him except listening to him on a baseball game, because it doesn't sound like he likes baseball anymore. And Dontrell Willis gave the exact opposite. Like, he seems like a guy who loves watching baseball, and he used to play. He's an expert in it, and that's what you want in a color commentator. I saw somebody in my Twitter mentions said at least he's picked up a ball, unlike that stuffed shirt Joe Davis. Well, Joe Davis was a college football quarterback. He's a very good athlete too. He played baseball. Joe Davis could probably kick that dude's butt. Joe's in great shape. And you don't have to have been a former player to be a play-by-play guy. Your job is to describe the action. And Joe Davis is very, very good at interacting with his color commentators, asking them questions about their playing days or about their areas of expertise. In the case of Jessica Mendoza, who hasn't played Major League Baseball, but she has plenty of experience, and Joe Davis is very good at that. But for a color commentator, yeah, you want somebody who has played the game and who still loves baseball. It's why we don't like John Smoltz, because he sounds like he doesn't like baseball anymore. You know, Dontrell Willis, you know, there's a strike. I think it was Evan Phillips struck a dude out on a slider. And as Joe Davis is calling the strikeout, like a play-by-play guy's job is, Dontrell Willis was going, ooh, woo. And that's awesome. It was a great slider. It was beautiful. And Dontrell Willis had fun with it. And so it's like, you can tell that Dontrell isn't a polished broadcaster. And that's what I like about him. It actually reminded me of, that's what I liked about A-Rod when he first started on TV, because that's how A-Rod was. And people, A-Rod's gotten so bad, people forget that. But for me anyway, I really liked A-Rod when he started, because it was that same thing. Here's a guy who loves baseball, knows a ton about it, and is just enjoys talking baseball. And A-Rod got so interested in being a professional broadcaster that he stopped being good at what made him good. And Dontrell Willis, I hope he never changes, because what makes him good is that he knows what he's talking about and he loves talking about it. And that's a great combination.
Yeah, that's the big thing he brings. He brings a fun element. He brings it, like you said, a different element. I know a couple of the criticisms when I tweeted about him was someone said, I like to stick to the stats and facts. And somebody said they like more of the, you know, analytical or look at it or more of the whatever. But, you know, he does bring that. It just brings it in a different way. You know, he was a pitcher, but he knows how to hit. You know, they showed his old highlights of when he used to hit. He has a different perspective, but like I said, he is bringing that fun side to it. You know, there was a couple of times where he reacted to the play and you can kind of hear him under Joe Davis's call, which you don't, you know, you're not really supposed to do. You don't hear it as often, but you know, it's a natural reaction and something that, you know, like I said, I think that part might go away just because the producers will tell him, but he'll still have the reaction. He'll just wait till after Joe calls it, stuff like that. You know, they had to, the one thing with the Dodgers, you know, Vin Scully was the guy forever. So it was always kind of straightforward baseball. And I always loved that. And then you see some of these other broadcasting duos from some of the other teams. And, you know, some of them are maybe a little bit too goofy and funny for me, like the Padres guys specifically. They're cool to listen to sometimes, but sometimes it's like, all right, it's a little much. I think Joe Davis and Dontrell are a good mix because, you know, Joe still keeps it pretty straightforward to talk about the game. Dontrell brings a fun element, but also the fact of, you know, Joe and Oro are a little bit different in age, different in references and stuff like that, whereas Joe and Dontrell have a lot of the same references, or they can reference the same things. A couple times Dontrell said something and said, he said something like, oh, you know about that, Joe? And then Joe's like, yeah, I do know about that. Like, you know, they have the same references. So I think it's going to be one that I think is going to continue to grow and grow better. And, you know, that kind of that fun element, but also, you know, these little reference elements. And also he's going to bring in more of the baseball stuff. You know, Joe will lead him into, you know, Joe's like Dave Roberts, putting them into positions where they could succeed. He'll put people in those positions to succeed, asking them certain questions about certain things, you know, and allowing them to use their baseball knowledge to talk about it, or allowing them to, you know, show their fun side about it. You know, we had the pizza thing. We had the Permanente Bro sandwich thing. You know, that stuff that we haven't really seen from Dodger broadcast before. So maybe, you know, some people aren't going to like it. But it's also a matter of – it gets down to, like you said, it seems like he likes to watch baseball, and that's someone, you know, that you would want to watch a baseball game with.
Yeah. My cousin texted me, I think it was Saturday. So what was that? The second game that,
yeah,
that Dontrell was doing. And, the Saturday was a doubleheader, right? Man, things are, it's weird time. But my cousin texted me and he asked me what I thought of him, and his commentary was, Dontrell Willis seems to really like himself some Dontrell Willis. And, you know, he does. I don't think he's referred to himself as D-Train, which you might have expected. Like, he's got a little bit of the feel like The Rock, you know. Like, it wouldn't shock me to hear Dontrell talking about himself in the third person. But like I told my cousin, I said, I always liked him as a player and a person, so I like him with Joe Davis. And you can tell that he loves baseball, and that's the number one thing I'm looking for, not somebody who's someone who's not a grumpy old man about baseball. And so here's my question for you, Vince. Of the three we've heard, and I think this is, are Carlos Mendoza and Dontrell the only three that are going to be, or they plan on mixing it? Oh, Jose Rojas has done, what's his name? Jose Mota. Jose Rojas. Jose Mota has done some radio games. I don't know if they're planning on mixing him in on the TV broadcast, but of the three that we've heard so far, if they were going to name one of them as the full-time road color commentator, which one would you pick?
Yeah, so I didn't get to hear a lot of Mendoza's games just because I think I was on vacation for part of it, and or whatever that was the case. So, but I saw and heard some good things about her. I think Karros is a guy who at this point has been in it long enough to where he doesn't bring too much to the table for me. I like Eric Karros as a player back in the day, and he's good at the job, but he doesn't bring too much for me. So it'd be between Dontro and Jessica Mendoza. I do have to hear a little bit more Jessica Mendoza, so I would lean Dontro right now. But if I listened to Jessica and I liked what she was doing, then, you know, I'd probably have a little bit more of an internal debate.
Yeah, I think that Karros is definitely a more polished color commentator. He's been doing it on the national level for a long time. I really enjoyed him, but like you said, nothing really to write home about. I thought he was a solid replacement for Oral for that series. Mendoza, between Mendoza and Dontrell, I feel like Dontrell has much better chemistry with Joe Davis.
Yeah.
And not as a criticism of Jessica or anything, but I feel like Joe and Dontrell's chemistry was really good. And ultimately, you know, I wouldn't say I'm sad that Oral's going to be back for today's game because they'll be back at home, but I am looking forward to the next time that I get to hear Dontrell and Joe Davis together. And I think that says something to me. I try to avoid recency bias, so I'll see how I feel a week from now. But as of right now, I'm looking forward to hear some more Dontrell.
Yeah, like I said, I do like that chemistry because they are a little bit closer in age. They do have the same references, and most of those references are, you know, similar in age to me as well. So some of them hit a little bit different. But the good thing is that we don't dislike any of them, and as Dodger fans, we continue to have one of the, you know, always had one of the better broadcasting crews in general, and that's going to continue forward, hopefully for a while with Joe Davis sticking around. But that's all we had planned for today. We did have one question about Clayton Kershaw that we'll maybe get into tomorrow. But Jeff, you got anything else you want to add?
No, I always enjoy talking Dodgers with you, and yeah, it's been a weird couple days for me. My wife had an emergency appendectomy night before last, and so I'm not even sure what day it is most days, because spending a night awake in the emergency room will kind of mess with your system. But I appreciate all you who've reached out on social media and stuff about her. So she's doing great, and so yeah, I'm happy to be back on a regular schedule.
Yeah, Dodgers are coming back home, taking on the Phillies. Max Muncy bobblehead for those of you going to the game. We'll talk about that game. We do, like I said, we do have a Kershaw question that we'll talk about. So that's what's on tap for tomorrow. Thank you for making us your first listen of the day. Make sure to make your second listen of the day, Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, also known as Sully, or please call him Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. He's got guests on all the time from the Locked On Network. So if it's free and available where you get podcasts, go check it out. Go check us out on YouTube or on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. Other ways to get a hold of us are email lockedondodgers@gmail.com or phone call, voicemail, text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car. If you're at home, tell your smart device play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.